Today I'll be presenting on creating a culture of equity for female veterans' mental health program policy practice considerations, where I'll share mostly findings from our veterans' mental health environmental scan as it relates to female veterans. So before we get started today, I just want to ask one question. By a show of hands, how many of you know someone who is serving in the U.S. military or has served in the military? Okay, good. So all of you. I ask that because a number of veterans don't identify as veterans, and I learned that in my own experience with my own family. When I started this project, I spoke to my grandfather about it. I said, you know, I'm starting this Veterans Mental Health Project, and he revealed that he was a veteran of the Korean War. And I lived with my grandfather from the second grade until I left home for college, and I had no idea that my grandfather served in the military. So when we had our first meeting for this project, I received a phone call, and I learned that my grandfather was diagnosed with colon cancer. And because my grandfather never spoke of his military experience, he also never accessed his VA benefits. We had no access to his DD-214, and it was during that time we realized we needed his VA benefits because his medical bills were piling up. And I would learn that some of the challenges that today's veterans face in encountering the VA and other systems trying to access that. Unfortunately, my grandfather passed away in the spring, and I was never able to access his DD-214. So I'm still on a quest to find that. So this project meant a lot to me as it relates to my grandfather. So as I quickly move through the slides, I want you to think about two things. What does a veteran mean to you, and why are they important? So and that's my grandfather, and that's my uncle, who had a complete opposite experience. He always spoke of his military experience. They served together, actually. So just an overview of the organization that I work for. I work for Common Health Action, a national public health nonprofit organization that aligns people, resources, and strategies to generate solutions to health and policy challenges. So as a public health organization that believes that each person's health is a production of society, likewise, we believe that veterans are a production of their military experiences, including the culture, being immersed in the culture, their training experience, and everything that comes along with being a part of the military. And having that frame allowed us to keep in mind some of the challenges that veterans may face because of their military experience and how that translates into their transition back into the civilian world. So we started this project back in September of 2013. We received funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to understand some of the mental health challenges, as well as access challenges that some of our veterans face today, and looking for opportunities to create equitable outcome, mental health outcomes, to lift that up in an environmental scan. We intended to be very broad in the scan, looking at veterans from recent war eras, from OEF, OIF, OND, all the way through World War II. So for this study, because we were focusing on particular populations, we identified 12 of them. And those veteran populations are those who belong to groups who have been historically oppressed. And you see they're listed here, as well as veterans with certain post-military experiences. The female veteran population is one of the 12, which I'll focus on today and share some of our research findings. Our approach to conducting this scan included the methodologies that are listed here. I won't get into great detail of them because I want to get into the findings. But from our literature search and our convening of advisors that consisted of our key informants, that's how we derived at focusing on the female veteran population, because there's so much information out there on veterans, and it's a lot. So we had to really hone in on what the population that we wanted to focus on, particularly for our focus groups. So just a quick overview of our female veteran population. So females make up 14% of the U.S. active duty force, 18% of the National Guard forces, and 20% of all new recruits. In the U.S. today, there are nearly 2.2 million female veterans. Within the next 30 years, approximately, the projection percentage of female veteran population is expected to grow from 10% to 17%. And given that this population is expected to grow exponentially in forthcoming years, the number of female veterans that will use the VA will also increase drastically, suggesting a greater demand to provide adequate support services for this population. Another thing, although the female military and veteran population has increased significantly, and females are serving in new and greater roles, including combat, they're still confronted with distinct challenges. And here I have listed some of the challenges that we identified in our scan. 5% of our nation's homeless veterans are females. Many are single mothers. They are 3 to 4 times greater risk of experiencing homelessness and more likely to become homeless than their male veteran counterparts. African American female veterans are, and veterans between the ages of 18 and 24 are even higher risk of experiencing homelessness. They're at double risk of developing PTSD for reasons ranging from military sexual trauma all the way through their combat and military related experiences. The prevalence is significantly different among the female veteran population compared to the general population at 23 to 33%, whereas the 17% prevalence exists for the general population. As a result of their military experiences, female veterans also suffer from higher rates of depression and are impacted at a greater proportion of the military sexual trauma, which leads them to need more mental health services and assistance, including securing housing. So it all trickles down into all of the determinants that we know of: education, housing, jobs. It has a rippling effect. I thought it was also important to define how we lifted up challenges. We also want to define how we identify or describe vulnerability, which is the degree to which people are susceptible to experiencing oppression or harm as a result of their interactions or feedback from systems and institutions that may affect their well-being. And this especially is a great concern as our military and veteran population become more diverse. We don't want to put all the responsibility on the individual when they have interacted with systems that may actually be perpetuating or exacerbating, you know, their issues. We also applied an equity lens to this project, making sure we understand who receives the benefits, who receives the burdens of some of the current policies and programs that we know exist today. And this is what we use to help inform our understanding of mental health. So next I'll get into our focus group findings. So I'll leave up the quotes for you to read, but although female veterans highlight a number of their challenges, they also talk, some of them talk very positively about their military experience ranging from their travel around the world to developing lifelong friendships. Loss of identity when exiting the military was a theme that came up from our focus groups. And before I get into that, I just want to tell you one thing about our focus groups. We hosted 4 focus groups in Los Angeles, California, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Illinois, and also in Jackson, Mississippi. We intended it to be national scan. We wanted to do more, but it's a lot. So, but we got some rich information from these focus groups. So loss of identity when exiting the military is another theme that came up. One of our participants described her military experience like leaving prison, where food and shelter and access to everything was readily available to you. Others described their challenges returning home, including loss of their military social support, obtaining employment, managing finances, some of the very common themes that we see among our military population. Military service impact on relationships. A number of our participants found support from their family and other non-military relationships, but they expressed challenges with relatability, particularly with dealing with the stress that was normally encountered as a result of the experience, and not being able to relate to some of the people in the society that they were in their communities. Identification as a veteran is another one, a very common theme. As I spoke of with my grandfather, with women, a number of our participants identified that they didn't identify being a veteran if they didn't serve in combat or if they didn't deploy. Many share that when they would call in for their benefits, they often were thought of as either the military, the spouse of someone who served, or they were a dependent. A lot of them just don't identify because they identify with other roles that take precedence over their veteran experience, such as being a mother or a wife or a daughter. That was a theme that came up in the literature as well as in our focus groups. Military rank and civilian identity. This is something that surprised me a bit. How much it had effect on some of our participants as it relate to them trying to overcompensate for their enlisted status. Some of our participants described having to wanting to take on more educational roles and gain more experience in the world because they were enlisted and they felt that they weren't adequate enough as a result of that. and mental health treatment barriers. So a number of our participants were unaware of VA benefits, as I explained with my grandfather, and they also didn't feel like the care was adequate, or they didn't trust the VA. And last, one of our common themes is long-term effects of trauma. Some of our participants shared information about some traumatic life-changing events, experienced to have to cover up or not disclose information to protect their military status or their rank. It's a very difficult thing to have to listen to, seeing women, especially now we talk about military sexual trauma, but in the 90s, it wasn't something that was discussed, and even today, we don't discuss it in the capacity and with the lens that we should. So I'm not going to get into the details of this, because these are some of the recommendations, two recommendations that came from our focus group. We have more, and I recommend that you read the full report. I have copies of the report brief here with me. Specific services that are related to females and supports are needed. I think that's an obvious one. I think the female veterans felt like the VA wasn't designed with them in mind, and it wasn't, because it's a male-dominated culture. But even now, they still feel like an afterthought. And solutions to improve the current state. So based on this quote, I interpret this as women feeling like they need like a peer support or peer navigator to help them through every step of the process upon their return to civilian life, from finding a job to even turning on the electricity. You know, these are some of the things that women say that they need. This is just one policy that we've highlighted, and we have plenty of others in our report. April of 2000, the VA launched this new women's hotline, and it's designed to receive and respond to questions from women across the nation as it relates to VA services and resources, which seems like a great thing. But considering the varied challenges of the female veteran population, workforce capacity and coordination needs to increase within not only the VA, but the private sector and community-based organizations, because with this influx of female veterans, there's not enough capacity. There isn't enough capacity at the moment. So the mental health support is certainly something that is needed to deliver evidence-based quality care. And some implementation strategies are things that came up in the literature, and they also came up in conversation about VA after hours, expanding transportation, some of the barriers that we know affect the general population. Outreach and education to reduce barriers to care, and most importantly, gender-sensitive and gender-appropriate care. That's something that came up with women who are already going to the VA, and they say, this is not what I want, because they don't seem to really understand, they don't really seem to get it quite yet. But they also say the same thing about some of the civilian doctors, that they don't understand, and then some would prefer going to the VA because of the cultural competency there. So you have different stories depending on the individual. So this is our call to action. We have a whole list of it in our report about creating a national dialogue with common language and shared perspectives, investing in inclusive, veteran-informed policy and cultural changes, and of course investing more research that's informed by the female veteran, that's female veteran-led and female veteran-informed. And given that there's so many resources out there, it's vast, but there's the need for coordination and the need for people to collaborate, it's great in order to share resources and to create this collective impact. So our Creating a Culture report is available on our website. These are my references. My acknowledgments. And thank you so much, and thank you.